Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for it's our purpose to speak only those things found in God's holy and inspired Word. That's why, if at any time you have a question or a comment concerning something that we say on the program, we'd like to hear from you. Or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you've been studying and would like for us to spend time and study it on the program, certainly we'd like to hear from you. Just contact me at the address given by the announcer or contact me by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. You know, a friend recently suggested that when you study any Bible subject, begin with the fact that you know is true. Drive a peg down right there, and then be sure that all other conclusions that are drawn from your study are consistent with the fact where you have driven down your peg. But where do you drive down your peg in your study of the Holy Spirit? How about the all-sufficiency of the Scriptures? 2 Timothy chapter 3, reading verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Friends, any conclusion that we come to regarding the Holy Spirit must not bring into question the all-sufficiency of the Scriptures. Let that be where we drive our peg. See, the Scriptures are sufficient to bring one to faith. In fact, in John chapter 20, notice what we read there beginning in verses 20 and 21. He says, "Truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name." We know in Romans 10 and verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." In fact, if one cannot be brought to faith through the Scriptures, he cannot be brought to faith, even though there would be maybe one that was raised from the dead. Do you remember the rich man and Lazarus, when they departed this life, they went into the Hadean world? Lazarus was comforted. The rich man was tormented. He remembered he had five brothers. He wanted Abraham to send Lazarus from the dead back to warn his brothers not to come to this place. But you remember what he said? If they will not be convinced during that period of time that Moses' law was in effect, the statement was made, they will not be convinced though one rise from the dead. Friends, faith must only and can only, the true one faith can only come through the hearing of God's word. So the Scriptures are sufficient to bring us to faith. There's a belief held by many that one cannot hear the word of God, believe it, and respond to it without some direct operation of the Holy Spirit on their heart in addition to the Word, and yet distinct different from it. See, this belief, let us understand, denies the sufficiency of the Scriptures to bring a person to salvation. Are the Scriptures sufficient? Well, James in James 1 verse 21 says, "Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." In Romans 1 and verse 16, "The gospel is the power of God unto salvation." It's over in the book of Acts in the 17th chapter that we read about the Bereans. Let's look at verses 11 and 12. It says, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men." So we see that the Bereans searched the Scriptures, and therefore many of them believed. And you know, in the conversion of the Ethiopian, both an angel and the Spirit worked in a direct way, but it was to bring the preacher, Philip, to act, not the Ethiopian. The preaching concerning Jesus that Philip did brought the Ethiopian to act to the saving of his soul. Philip began at the passage in Isaiah that the Ethiopian was reading. The Ethiopian had a question. Who is the prophet speaking of? Is he talking about himself or some other man? Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Then, when they came to a certain water, the Ethiopian said, "See, here is water. What hinders me to be baptized?" And remember the statement that Philip made? "If you believe with all your heart, you may." How did the Ethiopian come to believe? He came to believe as a result of the preaching of Philip, based upon the passage in Isaiah that Isaiah was prophesying concerning Christ. So this man and all others from Pentecost all through the book of Acts were brought to salvation through the word that was preached to them. And that word, friend, you and I now have in the form of the Scriptures, the New Testament. And there's some that have been known to say, "I read the Bible, but mostly I just let the Holy Spirit guide me." You know, many today are confident that the Holy Spirit is guiding them in what they're doing, or they laying this or that on their hearts. Friends, the Holy Spirit does guide us, but He does so through the Scriptures. The Scriptures, like in the verse that we read to begin our study, 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. On three different occasions, men of the New Testament quoted the Scriptures, and they used the expression, "The Holy Spirit spoke by the mouth of David," that we read in Acts 1 and verse 16. Or, "The Holy Spirit spoke through Isaiah," that we read about in Acts 28 and verse 25. Or, "As the Holy Spirit says," and that is what the Hebrew writer used when he began quoting from the book of Psalms in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. Anytime that one reads the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit is speaking to him. And if he follows the teaching of the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit is guiding him. And two, if the Holy Spirit is providing direct guidance apart from the Scriptures, how does one explain why people are going in so many different directions in beliefs and practices, and yet they all claim to be directly guided by the Holy Spirit? Friends, are we going to blame the Holy Spirit for the confusion that exists in the religious world? You see, when people are comforted by reading the 23rd Psalm, or by reading 1 Corinthians the 15th chapter, which is a great chapter concerning the resurrection of the dead. Who's comforting them? The Holy Spirit. You know, we once heard a man say at a funeral, "The Holy Spirit is moving all through these pews, comforting us at this very moment." Friends, the Holy Spirit did comfort the audience that day, but he did so through the scriptures that were being read. Remember the statement in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18, "Therefore comfort one another with these words." So, when people teach that the Holy Spirit must work directly on the heart of a sinner before that he can believe and be saved, when they speak of the need for the direct guidance of the Holy Spirit in knowing and doing God's will, and when they speak of the Holy Spirit moving in and out of pews to comfort the bereaved, friends, they are challenging the all-sufficiency of the Scriptures to make the man of God complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. He convicts us of sin. He guides us in knowing and doing God's will. He comforts us. He provides an answer in time of temptation. He provides the message to be preached and does so many other things for us. He does so through the scriptures that he has revealed. Be sure that your conclusions concerning the Holy Spirit are consistent with the all-sufficiency of the Scriptures. Drive down your peg on 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Friends, again, the Scriptures are all sufficient, and it's the Scriptures that we need to thank the Holy Spirit for, that you and I can have and hold in our hands and take any time of the day or night and pick it up and read it. We need to be thankful for the work that the Holy Spirit has done. We appreciate so much your listening. We see your time is gone. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.